and welcome to yet another edition of the Full Force Newsburst, brought to you by GeneralsJoes.com with me as your host, Chris First to Burst McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. On this instalment of yet another interesting kind of burst, I'm joined by Justin Saved by the Bell to discuss the news that Robert Schwentke is in talks to direct the upcoming Snake Eyes movie. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this news burst. Hot off the presses, we have learned via The Hollywood Reporter, not Justin Bell, yet, that Robert Schwentke has been tapped to direct the upcoming Hasbro G.I. Joe Snake Eyes movie. Schwentke is a German-born director and writer with some impressive credits, including Red, R.I.P.D., The Time Traveler's Wife, Insurgent, and Allegiant. It could be a good match considering we've already heard that Evan Spiliotopoulos' script will centre around the character's origins, where he tries to become a member of the Arashikagi clan in an old kung fu style action flick. All we know at this time is that Robert Schwentke is in talks, and we will bring you any updates as and when they appear. Now, Justin, what do you think of this news, and does it fill you with more confidence than the DJ Caruso story we heard about much earlier this year?
Well, first of all, I think this is all fake, because there's nobody, no way anybody's really named Spiliotopoulos and Schwentke. And all I can think about is, you know, trying to do the updates, you know, when I get General Joe's fired back up again for news updates, how the hell am I going to spell either of these two names?
Just copy and paste, man. Just have all of the difficult names in like a notepad next to it. Just copy and paste straight in.
Yeah, as far as filling me with a sense of confidence, I mean, I don't know if Schwenke's resume is a whole lot more impressive than DJ Caruso's, although he's done, you know, some slightly more recent stuff. You know, I actually, you know, I'm not much of a kind of young adult film fan, although I did see the Divergent trilogy, and I thought it was, you know, pretty decent movie. You know, the action set pieces were pretty good. You know, I actually watched a couple trailers for Red after seeing this news, which was, you know, honestly a pretty goofy movie with Bruce Willis and John Malkovich playing kind of past their prime CIA agents.
And Helen Mirren.
Well, there was, exactly.
And Morgan Freeman, I think, as well.
Morgan Freeman was in it. Yep, you're right. Ernest Borgnine. believe it or not. But it was actually, you know, some of the action was pretty well directed and well choreographed and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, when you're talking about a Snake Eyes movie, you're not looking for deep and meaningful.
We're not getting
insight.
An Oscar here, are we?
Yeah. We're looking for bad ninja action, pretty much, or commando action, preferably. But
no pants, zero underpants.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all about the commando action. So Schwentke, bring us some commando action and we'll be happy.
It's amazing. I mean, you mentioned about, you know, the Divergent series. I have seen that. And yeah, I mean, they're pretty solid young adult films. I feel like Schwentke seems to be an up and coming. I mean, he's been doing movies for a while now, but at the same time, this is kind of, when you're building a career in movies, you're talking like a really long time in terms of like building to, you know, somewhere where you're kind of happy and comfortable and making like huge, brilliant films all the time. So I kind of feel like, you know, I kind of see this more as a kind of development kind of, you know, for him to kind of maybe do the Snake Eyes movie, maybe try something slightly different. And I mean, it sounds like we're going to be getting like an old kung fu style movie, doesn't it? That kind of was hinted by Evan, but, and I'm not saying his surname again, but I kind of feel like when writers and directors have said this in the past, we want to do this, we wanted to kind of like try this homage, we're trying to try this. I always end up seeing, like, watching the film and going, I didn't get any of that. Like, all I see is a new, polished, brand new, exactly the same as everything else out there movie. I don't see true homage unless you're doing something like Quentin Tarantino, where he kind of goes, right, we're going to make it like it was exactly like one of those awful kind of movies back in the in the day with Grindhouse and Planet Terror and things like that. That's where there's a true homage done. I think when writers and directors say this thing like, you know, we want to try this kung fu movie, unless I'm seeing like VHS tracking running up and down the screen and like a little bit like raw and a little bit kind of different in the kind of, you know, more originality in the kind of cinematography and maybe some of the camera techniques, because I just know what we're going to see. It's going to be Rise of Cobra and Retaliation, but set in a different place. That's what I still feel is going to be the case with this. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, Retaliation was already kind of determined to have some of those elements of that kind of, especially in some of the training sequence, that old school kung fu martial arts sort of philosophy. So, I mean, it doesn't seem like they're adding, you know, a whole lot of new, you know, brilliant insight to the theory. And, you know, I haven't seen anything that makes me think this guy is going to revolutionize the way, you know, these movies are being done. And it could very well just end up like another Retaliation and Rise of Cobra. But, you know, I'm trying to remain somewhat positive about it. But, you know, until we start seeing trailers and hearing a little more, it's tough to decide exactly how they're going to handle it. But frankly, you know, rather than, oh, we're going to make this like this film, or we're going to really focus on this kind of genre, let's just try to stick to making a decent movie, I guess, first, and definitely worry about what the homages are later.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I know it's kitschy and interesting to think of, well, everybody thinks G.I. Joe was hardcore military, but it's really got elements of the Sunbow cartoon, you know, LOL, that every single writer and director has done for the past, you know, 10 years. And like, all right, it's not a novel concept anymore. That's kind of the way everybody's handled it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, I think there's potential. I'm hoping they take it, you know, somewhat seriously, and I hope they've learned from some of their mistakes. I'm not convinced they have, but we'll kind of see what happens.
I find it odd that a lot of studios are doing these kind of smaller character movies.
Yeah.
Inside what is effectively a reboot. You know, with Bumblebee, I mean, that now is clear. Like there are elements of Bay in there, I think, but they're really stressing the separation of that movie to the Bay universe. So I'm interested and intrigued at the fact that we're starting with Snake Eyes as opposed to, you know, like a G.I. Joe. But we have discussed this as well at length, and it does look like they're mirroring, or trying to mirror, even though it's a completely incomparable scenario, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where they start with the individual characters and then they bring the ensemble cast together. So I'm thinking now that we're not going to see a G.I. Joe ensemble film unless, say, the Snake Eyes movie does well, right? Check one. I think we don't see a G.I. Joe movie until we see another character film. And then what they'll do is they'll test the waters with another character, check, you know, if it does well, and they'll keep doing that until they realize, okay, now we're going to bring the Avengers in, you know, that kind of thing. That's what I feel like. It's almost like they're going, all right, we need a new idea here, guys. And then they're like, I know what to do.
Right. Well, they're doing it everywhere. You kind of, I obviously, we talk about the DC Warner Brothers universe in connection with the same idea, and you know, they jumped into Justice League relatively early, then they kind of backed off. Now they're doing Aquaman, and they're talking about a Birds of Prey movie with just Harley Quinn and you know, whoever the other Bird of Prey is, I don't remember. And then they're also talking, you know, then we've got Venom over on the Sony side, where Venom got a solo movie, and they're talking about like a Silver Sable Black Cat movie or something weird like that. So they're shooting off all these individual films with the
intention to bring them together, I suppose.
Exactly. Down the road, kind of developing this combined universe. But I mean, what they don't realize is that, you know, Marvel really did it organically, and trying to just echo Marvel's formula with, you know, with movies that aren't high quality it doesn't matter the format. I mean, everybody trashed Venom. Nobody's in any rush to see what happens with the Venom combined universe, because everybody said how much it sucked. I mean, it's not a concept. You have to make a good movie. That is the most important thing. And I know it's far easier said than done. I'm sure when Tom Hardy was on the set of Venom, you know, maybe he was sitting there saying, wow, this movie is terrible. You know, I'm just cutting a paycheck.
He was sitting on money at the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, you would hope that people go to a set and are proud of what they're making, but that's probably not always the case. It may not often.
Christopher Eccleston comes to mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good point. So, yeah, I mean, there's probably more of that goes along than you think. And it probably depends on the actor too, because I think Hugo Weaving, for example, is infamous for saying how much he hated playing the Red Skull and how much of a schlock film that was. And Captain America was the keystone of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Did he return for that little scene? That spoiler alert. Was that somebody else?
That was somebody else. Yeah. That was a different actor who played Red Skull in that particular scene.
That was one hell of a reveal.
Yeah,
wasn't
it? Awesome.
That's cool. Okay, so another thing I wanted to mention that, regarding this is the fact that Snake Eyes is probably the biggest character out of G.I. Joe. No questions asked, no doubt. He is the biggest known character out of G.I. Joe. And I would say then slowly coming up behind him, I would say probably even like, you know, Duke, Storm Shadow, right. Scarlet, those kind of characters. But Snake Eyes is far and away the biggest character, and you can't argue that fact, whether you like him or dislike him,
right?
Which is very rare that people dislike him, but you know, some people get, you know, bored of it, of the character. But at the same time, he's the biggest name there, and he's still nowhere near the size of someone like Iron Man, Captain America,
yep,
Hulk, even, you know, Black
even
Widow,
even Venom or Aquaman. I would argue, yeah, I mean, those two are totally eclipse Snake Eyes and kind of cultural,
yeah.
I mean, I think in Snake Eyes' heyday, he could certainly have rivaled Venom for popularity, for sure. But, I mean, Snake Eyes' heyday was 25 years ago, so.
And again, it was still pretty, I mean, Marvel still had a pretty strong comics, you know, presence back then. So, exactly. I mean, I get what they're doing and why they're putting that character out to the front. I just, at the same time, think that it's, I mean, they've tried the G.I. Joe movie side of things. I'm just concerned that you can't make a good movie with G.I. Joe. Is that mm-hmm. controversial to say?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's difficult. G.I. Joe as a concept it's such a child of the 80s that how do you do that now? And people will say, well, make it a period piece, but you can do that, but you have to really, you can't make it a period piece and touch all the touchstones that G.I. Joe did. I mean, G.I. Joe just hit this remarkable, you know, kind of perfect storm of marketing, of cartoon, of comic, of toy. Everything aligned perfectly. The reason G.I. Joe is so famous and so popular is because it's such an aberration. I mean, that hasn't happened very often in history.
Yeah.
So to think that you can just kind of, you know, wrap that up in a pretty bow and put it on film and that's instantly going to be a success again, I think is you're just fooling yourself. So I think people need to keep their expectations realistic, not just fans, but also movie producers, and realize that, okay, no matter how much we try to shoehorn this property down audiences' throats, perhaps it's just not going to take. And maybe by all appearances, you know, the Snake Eyes film isn't, you know, changing anything. It's just telling the same story a slightly different way.
Yeah.
So there doesn't seem to be any real, you know, incentive for audiences to say, oh, I wonder how they're going to treat Snake Eyes this time. Oh, he's a mute ninja who wears a black mask. Well, that's different. So, you know, I mean, what's the incentive for G.I. Joe fanatics? It's great because we get to see Snake Eyes on the screen again. But for children of the 80s, I mean, when you talk to children of the 80s, where you're really reaching a mass audience in regards to G.I. Joe, yes, Snake Eyes was by far the most popular character back then. But children of the 80s, when you say, tell me what G.I. Joe is about, they're going to tell you it's about red and blue lasers, people jumping out of airplanes and never dying, Cobra Commander being, you know, an outlandish idiot, and Shipwreck being a buffoon. I mean, that's what they're going to tell you. And people, you know, fans of ours don't want to hear that, and we don't want to see that on screen. And that's what makes G.I. Joe kind of so strange, is that Snake Eyes rarely really, I mean, he did appear in the cartoon somewhat frequently, but he wasn't like front and center yet. Everybody knows Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
But then everything else about G.I. Joe is all about Sunbow. So, and those two don't really play together. I mean, you've got this bad mute ninja who was scarred horrifically in a helicopter accident. How does that jive with the Sunbow red and blue laser, you know, Cobra Commander laughing, trying to conquer the world scenario? I mean, you can't have it both ways. You've really got to decide what you want to do. And that was kind of one of the downfalls of Rise of Cobra, is that they wanted to treat it, you know, serious and edgy, yet they wanted the lasers and the cool, you know, technology and all that stuff from the cartoon. And as we saw of Rise of Cobra, that just didn't mesh.
What?
Yeah. So, I don't really know. G.I. Joe it's a tough property to get your arms around at this point. And it kind of, ever since the 80s and mid 90s wrapped up, and people will argue, well, it came back and made a resurgence in the 2000s, and it did, but it was mostly a nostalgia vehicle, and it didn't ever reach nearly the popularity that it did back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So I think it's a tough sell. You really can't take parts and pieces from the past. You have to really, and we keep on saying this over
reinvent.
And over again. Yeah, people just don't listen. You've got to reinvent it. if you really want G.I. Joe to be meaningful to a new audience, you've got to be willing to throw away a lot of what happened already and really do something new. And yeah, at that point, is it really G.I. Joe anymore?
No, it's Rise of Cobra and Retaliation.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But again, like I think this, I'm slightly more optimistic about this movie. If they do go more stripped down, and I don't mean like a porn movie. I mean, as in if they go
Commando.
With, yeah, the Commando, Snake Eyes. If they remove some of the kind of the big elements and just go back to basics. And focus on the character, much like they're doing with the Bumblebee film. And by all accounts, we're hearing very good reviews at the moment. Yeah. But it is probably a good idea to mention that the preliminary reviews that you hear are, and I'm not, you know, this allegedly, but it's pretty, you know, it's well known. It's very, let's say it's paid off a little bit, you know. I feel like a lot of those reviews are massaged in order to promote hype for the film.
Well, it's a lot of geek sites who get, you know, access to the film early, and, you know, I'm sure they're not told, you know, give us a positive review or you won't be invited back. But it's in the back of their minds where these people are letting me see this movie a month early. Am I going to get out of it and then turn around and trash it?
Why would you trash
it? Never get invited
anyway,
to an early movie again.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it happened with Retaliation. I mean, I remember Retaliation clearly. The first weekend of Retaliation, or even before the first weekend, like the first wave of reviews, everybody was fawning over it. And like Rotten Tomatoes was at like 85, 90%. And it was like, oh my God, this is great. And then like a week later, it was like, and the bottom went out, you know. I mean, so it's,
I knew from the moment I saw that movie that it wasn't for me. Like the like straight away, it's just, I don't know, everything's so corny, from the music to the even like the not the CGI as such, but like the graphics, like everything about it just screamed, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not gonna hear to bash Retaliation again. But anyway, I mean, obviously, at the moment, we just know that he's in talks to direct. We don't know any more than that. No. Obviously, we will keep you up to date with any kind of information that kind of pops up. And we'll burst it as soon as Justin and I can get together and do so. Justin, thank you again for joining me for this news burst. Really appreciate it.
Not a problem.
That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my wonderful co-host, Justin Bell. See you next time. And as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions, or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.